The views expressed here reflect the views of Joel Marks, CLU-CHFC, financial advisor, and guests appearing on the program as of the date of the program and may change as market or other conditions change. Actual investments or investment decisions made by Ameriprise Financial and its affiliates will not necessarily reflect the views expressed on this program. This program will provide only general information, is not intended to provide investment advice, and does not account for individual investor circumstances. Investment decisions should always be made based on an investor's specific financial needs, objectives, goals, time horizon, and risk tolerance. Past performance does not guarantee future results, and no forecast should be considered a guarantee. Investment products, including mutual fund shares, are not insured, are not or guaranteed by any financial institution, and involve investment risks, including fluctuation in value and loss of principal. Investment products are not insured by the FDIC, NCUA, or any federal agency, are not deposits or obligations of or guaranteed by any financial institution, and involve investment risks, including possible loss of principal and fluctuation in value. Ameriprise Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Consult your tax advisor or attorney. Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, member FINRA and SIPC.
Good morning. I'm Joel Marks, financial advisor. You're listening to Money Success here on CBO 1075 and WCHB 1260 here in the Virginia area. I want to remind you, you can contact me at 540-7543-15. That's 540-7548. My tongue's getting tied up. 540-785-4315. There we go. You can also go to WCHB.com. Click on Money Success. It'll take you to my webpage. You can get my phone number. Email me from there. Any questions or concerns you have or anything that you'd like us to handle on this show. Remember, this is your program. I'm here to give information to you, to give you financial peace of mind and success in your financial planning. And that's a real concern with the inflation we've had. It's a concern that we have just the costs going on. Trying to a volatile market, which we've been talking about last week. We're going to continue some of that this week and try and finish it up. Oh, before I forget, I want to remind you, I am also located at your Virginia Credit Union here in Seminole Court, right next to MedExpress. And you do not have to be a member to meet with me, to talk with me, to walk with me, and so on. And I also have an office in Farmville for those of you that are over in that area. Before I get into the subject, though, I want to talk just briefly bring up an article I got on June 14th on Social Security payments will be cut $325 a month starting in 2033 without changes, according to the actuaries. This is something that I've been talking about for over a decade. Social Security is not what it was designed to be. It has become a political football. They keep kicking the can. Nobody wants to make some hard decisions, and politicians were using it to get votes. And people were saying, hey, that's good for me. I'm going to vote for him or her, as the case may be. And the fact is, it is just ballooning out. When Social Security started, you had 30-plus people paying in for one person. Now you've got about three people paying in for one person. And you know, the baby boomers are out. It's the largest generation out there, the post-war generation, and the benefits are there. And the actuaries testified before Congress, and they're talking about Congress has to make some hard decisions. They can't sit back and not make them anymore, or they can't just try give away things. When Johnson was in, President Johnson, he signed a bill that took the money out of the trust fund and put it into the general account. I know they keep saying, well, there's money in the general account, in the trust fund. It's pretty much money in, money out. They have to reform the programs, not only the Social Security payments, old age, you know, and survivors insurance benefit, but also for disability. That has to be changed, and they're going to have to look at Medicare and how that is working. So they got to take a look at the whole thing. It's not a Democrat. It's not a Republican problem. It is both sides of the aisle. and anybody sitting in the aisle has to make some decisions. This went before the House Budget Committee. They're involved. And I just want to make you aware of that. If you came into my office today and said, Joel, I want to do some financial planning, and you're under age 45, I would not even use Social Security in my calculations. Between 45 and 55, it's iffy. Those of you that, are within a few years or so of retirement and Social Security, you know, we're going to include it. But for the most part, I don't look for it long term. Who knows what it's going to look like? And I wouldn't be surprised at some point, and it's been proposed in Congress, that what might want to do is start allowing people to set up a special account of funds. And the fact is, we know that if you were investing this money yourself, you would get more out of it than Social Security gives you based on what you've put in over your working years. The problem, most of this listening audience would not put it aside, you'd spend it. That's the problem. We tend to take what we get home and spend it instead of paying ourselves first. And I've talked about that infinitum on this program. You've got to take care of yourself. If you don't, nobody else is. And I have people coming in to see me, and I'm not a magician. And it's very difficult to do much to help them off of a fixed income. And it could just be getting by. And I've got clients that are living with their children so that they're able to maintain a lifestyle. So talk to your congressman, folks. They're out there. They need to have that discussion with you. So we've been talking about investing during volatility. I talked about last week, I defined, you know, market volatility. And it has to do with how much the market is moving in any given position. We'll reference that a little bit more today. And we talked about understanding some factors. Now, I want to talk to you today, though, about concerning your portfolio's impact when we start talking about market volatility. And we're looking at, you know, bear and bull markets. You've heard that before, I'm sure. And bull and bear markets can have a notable impact on the performance of your investments. The stock market investors are bullish when they're optimistic about the economy and stock prices are rising. I don't expect it to continue to rise. Sometimes you find, though, if you got to be cautious because you might see the market rising, but you realize there are maybe a half a dozen stocks that are pushing the market and everything else is just doing. It's mediocre. It's not really performing. The bear market investors, on the other hand, are pessimistic about the economy and the outlook of what's going to be happening, and usually indicate a fear that stock prices are overvalued and thus headed down. Now, I will tell you, at any given time, I can find you people on either side of that, and they will you can start a war between them. I can give you people today that are bullish and people today that are bearish on the market. Personally, I think, you know, we're still going to be good for this year. And usually, because it's an election year, and usually the first year, whoever gets in, tends to be a positive year. But there is some good news, as you can. Bull markets have typically lasted 2.7 years, which is a lot longer than a bear market's typical 9-month span. That's why I've talked about having a plan, working the plan, staying in the market. Don't panic. Don't invest based on emotion. Have we had other times where it's been longer one way or another? Yes, we have. But when you stay with the plan, you work the plan, you come out ahead. That bull market that lasts about 2.7 years, on the average, the gain's 112%. 112, that's doubling your money plus. In the bear market, usually about 9%. Average loss, negative 36%. Again, that's just the market. What does your portfolio look like? I've got clients, we've never gone down that far because we're watching the market. We're watching what they're invested in. We're being proactive, managing their account. And you can mitigate that kind of thing. Tough as it can be to watch a bear market decline, there are upsides to downside markets. Bear markets are almost always followed by a period of strong stock increases. It comes all the time, just about, and we're talking about some great returns. As an example, average stock markets return 3 months after the bottom of a bear market is usually around 22.9%. 1 year later, average returns jump to about 50%. If you sell during the bear market, you're going to lose all that upside. So you're going to, what you lost, you're going to get back, plus what you were talking about. Remember, I keep talking about, if you miss the best days in the market, seriously impacting your portfolio and your return over time. Put a plan together. Work the plan. The best days in the market often occur after a bear market ends. It's not, another reason to stay your course. Follow your investment plan during the period of market volatility. Average return of a bear market after that trough, 3 months later is about 22.9%. 6 months, 31.67%. A year later, 49.82%. 3 years later, 20.42%. 5 years later, 17.96%. 10 years later, 13.45%. Average return after bear market. Double digits. Stay the course. I've got some investors. I met with one of my clients not too long ago. We were talking about this, going over the account. I said, our goal has been somewhere around 8 to 10%, just a moderate risk. And we turn around and we find out that we've been doing double digit. We've been doing better than even our goal was. And we wanted to be more of a moderate conservative goal, but we stayed the course. We put the plan together. We watched what we were invested in. We make changes if we need to make changes, whether it be market volatility, in sector movement, life events. All of this has an effect on where we're going and what happens with the program. It's not in stone. We're strategic. And strategic is not necessarily fluid, although there is fluidity in that we can change things, but we're very strategic in what we are doing. So when you consider about value of investing, you also have to take into account inflation. And that is a sustained increase in prices for goods and services. And it's usually measured by the Consumer Price Index. And we have been going through some horrendous inflation these past 3 years. In fact, in my lifetime, I'd have to go back to the late 70s, early 80s when President Carter, Jimmy Carter, was in. And my personal opinion is he's a great guy. He was the wrong person there in the wrong time. And, stuff happens. But periods of high inflation prompt the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates. We're seeing that now. And the effect is to slow the economy and lower prices. In return, financial markets can react strongly to both rising prices and rising rates over the short term. Problem. If the Federal Reserve is pulling money out of the economy by raising the interest rates, they're trying to slow the economy down. It doesn't work if on the other end we have a government that's spending trillions of dollars like there's no tomorrow. It's water coming over Niagara Falls. They've spent $1 trillion in 10 weeks, and it's getting worse. You can't keep spending. It's a tug of war, folks. You've heard me talk about this. Federal government is pulling in one direction, spending money, and for whatever the reason, they're spending the dollars that they don't have. So our national debt burden is getting worse and to the point that we're basically paying interest. We're not paying down the debt. And then on the other side, you got the Federal Reserve trying to pull money out and slow the economy down. It's a tug of war. Who's going to win? The Federal Reserve can only do so much. The federal government has to take over at some point. We have not had a balanced budget in over 13 years. We have a government that keeps, both sides of the aisle, They keep spending. They look for votes or whatever, special interest groups, and, again, not making the hard decisions, not controlling the purse strings, and spending. But investments, including stocks, bonds, and gold, can outperform inflation over the long term. We're seeing that now. I'm seeing that with my clients. In fact, going back to 1871, when investments outperformed inflation, we're seeing that going over time, outperforming inflation, stock market 60% of the time within 1 month. Over a year, it's about 64, 65%. Over a 30-year period, in fact, over a 20-year period, the stock market always outperforms inflation. And they're just rolling periods. We see the bond market in the same way over those long terms. In the shorter term, being at 3, 5, 10 years, we see the stock market still tends to outperform the bond market. Gold tends to be an inflation factor, but it works about the same way over time. And you've got to just be aware of where you're going with your investment. And it impacts your retirement. Outperforming inflation is important. And I emphasize that with my clients. It helps you preserve your savings against the erosion of the buying power caused by inflation. And even though you have low rates of inflation, it can impact your savings over time. The future purchasing power of $1 million today could drop to $861,000 in 15 years. And that's just a 1% inflation rate. In 30 years at that rate, the $1 million is going to be worth about $742,000. You know, if you factor in 3%, you're down to about $642,000 in 15 years. So you've got to be investing for the long term. You've got to take that into account, what you're looking at. You know, going out in time, just to take a look what inflation can do on a 15-year basis, $1 million. And I use that number just because it's a lot of zeros and it's easier for my math. But $1 million at 1% inflation after 15 years is down to about $861,000. At 2%, it's down to $743,000. That's where we're at now. Actually, we're more than that. At 3%, after 15 years down, your $1 million is down to $641,000. You've lost $360,000 in purchasing power. So you've got to be able to get ahead of inflation at that point, that 3%, just to maintain the buying power of that $1 million. You've got to make the 3%. Plus, you got to pick up about 2% for taxes. You've got to be making better than 5% with your money just to maintain the buying power. That's pretty true today. In fact, if we go back to 1933 at the height of the Depression, not including these past 3 years because I haven't done all that math, but prior to this administration, the average, depending on where you started, average inflation has been around 3.36%. You need about 2% for taxes, so you've got to be pulling in somewhere north of 5% just to maintain the buying power of the dollar. Now, I've used this example before. I use it often in my own office. Is when I was a young lad, my favorite candy bar, and it still is today, a Three Musketeer. I just don't eat them as often as I did when I was a young lad. When I was younger, my Three Musketeer cost me a nickel. And the ad was, and some of you will remember this, big enough to share with a friend. Well, today, that same Three Musketeer bar costs more than $2. I haven't really priced it recently, but it was more than $2 last time I looked. And no, I will not share it with you because it's not big enough to share with a friend. Recently, we've been talking about shrink economics. Well, this has been going on for a long time. We change the shape, change the packaging, and change the size if we want, and the price goes up. And we're going, okay, you know. So keep in mind when you're looking at these items, inflation is one of the items that you can't control. You can't control inflation, and you can't control your taxes. Now, you can do some planning to try and reduce taxes. And we do that quite often, depending on the accounts and how things are set up and what we can alter or adjust. But those are two items that are your enemy in your financial planning. And it starts to erode if you're not watching what you are doing and taking that into account as you go on. So investing, you know, with this volatility, you've got to navigate the volatility that's taking place. And it's a natural part of the market. And we're going to take a look at some of the ways that you can navigate it prior to your retirement years, as well as some of your post-retirement years. And as you get closer to retirement, for the most part, your earning years are behind you. What you've been doing is pretty much coming to fruition, and it is what it's going to be. Unless you're going to have a lottery or you've got an inheritance potential that's coming in, what you have is what you have. And that puts you in a position of you've got to mitigate risk. You've got to make sure that it's going to grow and keep up for your with your lifestyle, give you financial peace of mind. We're seeing statistics where about a third of the population is actually skipping a meal. We're seeing credit cards right now increasing on balances carried forward as people are trying to decide, do I pay the electric bill or buy food? You know, how do I manage my money? And we're seeing that happening. We're seeing actually housing defaults starting to increase again across the nation. This inflation is affecting a lot of the population. First-time homebuyers, they're kind of out there because of the high interest rates on loans. They're up around 7%. Again, they kicked up a little bit. That's affecting first-time homebuyers, unless you have somebody that is going to give you a substantial amount of dollars to help you along. Otherwise, you're kind of out there. So let's talk about ways that you can navigate the volatility of the market and where you're at. And the first one is basically keep your emotions in check. I understand that market volatility can be unnerving, especially if I have clients that come in and the fact is their entire investment program has been VRS, 457s, 403B tax shelters, 401Ks, and what they end up doing is you go in, they pick something, and it has just been there. They may more than likely never go back in and make any changes in their account and how it's set up, and it just keeps on going without any changes. That being the case, that all of a sudden they come into see me and they're going, what's happening? I haven't, I don't know what's going on with my case, and I'm afraid to go out and do any investing. And we find out that you have been, you just haven't been watching it. So keep your emotions in check and watch what's happening there. That's why I talk about putting a plan together, work the plan, assess your risk tolerance. And your advisor should be able to sit down with you and, what is your risk tolerance? How can we work you through that risk? Embracing diversification. The odds are that you've just been in something and you aren't familiar with where it's going, what it's been in. It's diversification. Your advisor should be able to explain diversification to you. And in so doing, you align your financial strategies to your goals and be disciplined. Stay the course. So let's just quickly take a look at some of these tactics that we're talking about. Keep your emotions in check. Making changes to your portfolio in reaction to market downturns can backfire. It can, lock in some losses and reduce your upside potential when the market bounces back. We've seen that with let's take a look at the tech stocks. They go down and all of a sudden, they're back up tremendously. So you took the loss and you missed the gain. So what do you do instead? You talk with your advisor. You make decisions based on short-term events on a day-to-day market swing. You be careful of doing that. You don't want to do that. An experienced voice can help you work through your emotions to confirm whether the actions you're considering are long-term or short-term. And you've got to be careful on those short-term reactive things that you're going to do. So assess your risk. You know, do you need to see at least a little return? Do you have a hard time tolerating losses? You can tolerate maybe some small losses. Now, I can tolerate a loss, or I don't mind if I lose money. Depends where you're at and where your philosophy is, whether you're very conservative or very aggressive, and your whole lifestyle and portfolio is going to make a difference with that. So we want to make sure that you're looking at the return. Only you can decide your comfort zone and how your market risk and your tolerance out there with that market downturn. You know, and people are euphoric when the market's moving up, and they all of a sudden they own everything that they've got, and when the market goes down, they've lost. Well, it's a paper loss, and we can say that, and we'll say, well, that's not very consoling, but you've got to look long term. You've heard me use the example, if you're driving down I-95 or here in Charlottesville, I-64, and you're just looking at the front of your car, you're going to get pretty stressed out. You're going to start to sweat. You're going to start to breathe harder. You're going to get tense up. And what you're going to notice when that happens is you start to panic. But you lift your head up and you start looking down the road, and you're going to calm down. Your blood pressure is going to reduce. Your heart rate's going to subside. You're going to calm. You're going to stop the perspiring that you've been doing, and you're looking in the distance. That's the same thing when you're investing. We're getting to the end of the show. So I just want to say we're going to come back. I'm going to end this next week and give you some final thoughts as far as handling the risk tolerance and assessing your risk. It's been great to be with you this Saturday morning. We've got a great weekend. I hope you stay cool. Find a place to stay cool. Enjoy the weekend. Remember, you're listening to us on Seaville 107.5. You can get a hold of us on WCHV.com. Click on Money Success, and you'll get my phone number and my email. I'm Joel Marks, financial advisor. You can contact me at 540-785-4315. And remember, the best is yet to come.